Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 18 of the Playoff Push Podcast. This is the preview episode for your 2024 World Series between the Los Angeles Dodgers and our New York Yankees. I'm here with a very special guest, the King of Pinstripes himself. How are we doing?
Doing great, doing great. I haven't stopped smiling since Saturday.
Oh, you know, I mean, the clinch is huge. You know, first clinch in 15 years, my first real World Series I'm going to be able to watch. It's amazing to see.
Yeah, it's been a very long time. So, like I said, I haven't stopped smiling since Saturday. It's like it's been a I feel like I'm in a dream right now, and for me personally, it's like I have like a deeper connection with this World Series due to personal reasons.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great World Series. You know, Dodgers, Yankees consistently higher in the payroll spectrum, finally getting to match up. I've been thinking about this World Series since 2018, and it's finally happening here in the big old 2024.
Who you think is gonna win? I know we're, like you said, we're gonna come out biased, but who you think is gonna, like,
I think it's
realistically?
going to be close. I think it's going to be a really close series. Looking at the stats we have here, you got the Yankees with a 759 OPS this postseason compared to the Dodgers at 785. So about a 25-point gap there. However, the Dodgers are pitching to a 4.36 ERA, while the Yankees seem to be sporting around a 3.27. So ERA is definitely in our favor. So I think based on pitching alone, odds are we're able to get a big jump.
So, Dodgers pitching hasn't been up to their standards, so I feel like pretty great when it comes to like that part of it. Yankees pitching has been pretty awesome. I know the only thing that scares me is our hitting. I feel like once the game starts, I feel like the Dodgers, they come in for the kill for like right out of the gates. For us, it takes probably about like to the sixth, seventh inning. So that's the only thing that scares me is just the offense.
I agree. You know, Yankees happen to have a lot of comeback wins here in this, especially I think it was the clinching game where we were down and then had a huge comeback with the Soto three-run bomb. But just looking at this Dodgers rotation, it's extremely banged up. When you look at their innings leaders this year, top three is Stone, Glasnow, and Yamamoto. And both Stone and Glasnow are going to be out for this series. Same with Kershaw. So they're missing three big starters right there. They are starting Flaherty game one, Yamamoto game two, everything else still a toss-up. But Flaherty pitched really well against us earlier in the year. Yamamoto, we still have to see what he can truly do, but it's going to be an interesting first two games when it comes to the Dodgers pitching.
I wish they was starting Yamamoto at Yankee Stadium. I think he would have been a lot more scared, I should say.
I mean,
Like, I
yeah, of
know
course.
he looks like very, like, he has like a poker face, but I feel like it would have been better if he would have been pitching game three.
Yeah, I agree. Because, you know, especially with him being a rookie, you know, you're never going to get used to Yankee Stadium until you've been in it at least a few times. But, you know, Flaherty was an incredible pickup for them mid-season from Detroit. And it's just
Remember, he was
looking.
trying to get him as well.
Yeah, we were. But, you know, we fell short and we decided to get guys like, you know, Jazz and Leiter instead. But our rotation is going to be getting a pretty neat guy back. I don't know if he'll take a rotation role or more so a bullpen role. But Nestor Cortes is likely to return. He was quoted today saying that we've weighed the consequences, but if he has a ring and then a year off of baseball, so be it. So he's willing to, you know, fight through the injury if it means getting a ring.
I don't like that. Like, I know, like, I appreciate, you know, him coming out saying that, but it's like we need him
It's,
like
is it
next
worth
season.
it?
So from the start, is it worth it? I say half and half.
Yeah, I think I would love him to come back for the World Series, but I think we should limit him to a bullpen role purely because he's not going to be, you know, full force. Let's go six innings. I think he should stick in the back, be a nice maybe 2-3 inning reliever if one of our starters gets banged up. But I love the flair to get back. I mean, it shows he cares about this team and he wants to keep the push going.
I put him for one game, but we have Stroman.
Yeah,
They haven't
Stroman
used
too.
Stroman yet. Like people forget he's good. Like
Really good ball
everyone,
player.
very.
But you
I
know,
like
these are
remember
two great teams.
he's not afraid of the moment, so I'll pick him over a lot of our guys at that spot.
I mean, yes, yeah, Stroh's been through it. He was on those Blue Jays teams that were able to, you know, make some runs back in the mid 2010s. But this is a team that he's only been with for a year, but he threw 154.2 innings this year, pitched to a 4.31. So really didn't have the greatest year of his career when it comes to numbers, but he took a leader role pretty confidently. And again, I think we could really use Stroman in a bullpen role, and I think we can run with the rotation of Cole, Rodon, Schmidt, Heel, and maybe just run a bullpen game five, maybe toss in Stroh, toss in Cortez. But I think we really just need the four-man rotation and then just keep it pushing.
Yeah, I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't put Nestor. If you put him maybe for like an inning, I say yes, but I also feel like if it's not like broken, don't fix it.
Oh, exactly.
But I'm like in between when it comes to like Nestor and Stroman. I just gotta see like how everything is gonna go first, and then we just go from there.
Yeah, I mean, everything lies on games one and two at Dodger Stadium. If the Dodgers jump out to a 2-0 lead, we're starting out from the back seat. We got to figure out a way to get in the driver's seat and turn the series into our way back in the
Yeah, so
Bronx.
that's what I'm telling you. Like for the Dodgers, they right out of the gates, they're already like, okay, let's just go in and this game from the first. For us, it takes a while, and that's like the only thing that scares me. You know how many times it's like, okay, the fifth inning, we have zero on the board, six, seven. That's when they start to wake up. By then, maybe the Dodgers are like 8-0 by then. So that's like the only thing that scares me.
I totally agree. But one big thing to keep in mind about this series is there's a very good chance Freddie Freeman does not play, dealing with an ankle injury, and seems to be very likely to be left off of the World Series roster. And, you know, losing your starting first baseman, a former MVP winner like that, could be crucial. And that could cause a guy like, say, Kike Hernandez to have to take over the first base role while keeping Muncy at third. So that might be what we're looking at when it comes to the Dodgers lineup. Other than that, looking pretty healthy. Mookie's balling. Tommy Edman, an incredible midseason pickup. Everyone's doing their job, and Freeman might be left off this roster.
Like we're talking about his bat, but also just his veteran like leadership also on the field. For me, he's like a gold glover.
Oh yeah, no, he's one of the best first basemen
So
of the 21st century.
it's a lot of things that could go wrong at first. I know it's, a lot of people might say it's like a super easy position to play. I hear that many times, but it takes a lot to play that position, so you never know.
It does, especially with the number of lefty
Saving
hitters trending
errors.
up. Yeah, the lefties trending up means a lot more balls are going to be heading towards the right side of the field. First basemen are having to make plays now that they've never had to make before. A lot of divers in between the second first gap with the shift band. So, you know, Freeman's a crucial presence on this Dodgers team. If he's not playing ball, that's already a huge jump for the Yanks, and we could potentially abuse it.
Have you seen Ohtani's number against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium?
I have not.
He doesn't really, that's a thing. He doesn't, so I'm not like a huge number type of guy. I'm not like into it deep. I'm like just at games, watching on TV, visual. He doesn't really do any damage against us, as I probably am gonna jinx it, but like Ohtani doesn't scare me like whatsoever, so.
Ooh. Wow, yeah, you're not wrong. Ohtani, this was posted in July. So I don't know if this has been updated since. I don't know if we played them post July. But as of this Reddit post, Ohtani in 16
From
games
the
at Yankee,
Angels.
yeah, in 16
Well.
games at Yankee Stadium, hit 136 with a 239 OBP and 17 Ks, as well as a 27 ERA on the mound in 3.2 innings. So, yeah, actually, I didn't even realize he played that bad in the Bronx. But, however, at Angel Stadium against the Yankees, he had a 1.4 OPS. So it's not like it's the Yankees shutting him down, it's Yankee Stadium itself.
That's why I feel great about it. Like, I'm not a, I know a lot of people's gonna say I must be crazy, but Tani, you know, just pitch him, pitch around him, just make sure you don't give him anything to hit. So other than that, I think the only, let's say, player on the Dodgers is Mookie Betts. Like, he's been there, he's been in Boston, Yankee Boston rivalry, like he's the only one that I could say that I'm actually pretty scared. Other than that, I have all the confidence we're just going to pull it off.
I mean, yeah, Mookie has been on an absolute tear this postseason. Leads the Dodgers with 44 at bats with a 1.063 OPS, four homers, 12 RBI, and a what looks to be a 6-8, no, 8-8 walk strikeout ratio. So he's actually playing pretty well, hitting 295 in those 44 at bats. So this Dodgers lineup, when you look at it, Mookie's hitting 295. Edmund 341, Otani 286, and just at Kike Hernandez hitting 303. He's an iconic postseason hitter, one of the greatest in the 21st century. So this is a loaded Dodgers lineup, but this is a loaded Yankees staff. So it comes down to who wins that matchup.
I wonder which version of Aaron Judge we're gonna get. That's the other
Yeah.
thing that has me thinking.
I agree, because Judge is, not great in the postseason. We've learned that. But, however, Aaron Judge is actually a very good ball player against LA in general. I'll pull up the exact stats right now. But in his career against the Los Angeles Dodgers, Judge is hitting 389 with eight homers. So, that seems pretty nice to me. I will gladly welcome that.
Yeah.
I mean, just earlier this year, June 8th, he was 2-for-4 with two nukes.
Man, it's hard to say, but I really think, in my opinion, Judge is gonna break out.
I think so. I think it's due.
That's my opinion. It's no way he's gonna go. Once again, just striking out because he's been looking like he never played baseball before. Like
I agree.
swinging at every pitches that he usually walks. I don't even know what to say. Like I've been super excited. I just can't wait.
I agree. I mean, Judge is due for the breakout, hitting 161 this postseason, 13 strikeouts compared to five hits. So, of course, not a ratio you want there. But again, as I just said, incredible ball player when it comes to facing LA. And I feel like with the Yankee Stadium crowd getting behind him, this is the World Series. He's been talking about this since he first got up to the Bronx. So, the fact he has a chance now, if he doesn't break out, man, what's going on?
You got me there. I wish I knew. I wish.
Because
I'm
it's
telling you,
crazy.
he's been
Because
very frustrating. I'm not like I can't kill him. It's Aaron Judge. He's the best.
I
But
agree. Yeah.
it's something going on.
It's crazy with
Like
Judge because prior to the pandemic, he was actually a pretty solid postseason hitter. But as soon as COVID hit, after that, he just hasn't been able to, hit anything.
so your opinion. Give me your lineup for game one.
Lineup for game one.
Would you leave
Okay.
it as it is? Or will you change and fix like some things like in the lineup?
All right. So let's think about this. So you have to keep Glaber at leadoff. I mean, he's been performing very well, 832 OPS from the leadoff spot since we put him there in September and actually dragging it into the postseason. I think we do go Soto in the two. I mean, hitting 333, 439 on base. I think you kind of have to put Soto in the two. So you got Torres at second in the one, Soto and Wright in the two. Who do we go in the three? I do think we have to stick with Judge in the three. I just think you need to keep Giancarlo in the four. So we'll put Judge in the three. Pray to God he breaks out. Giancarlo in the four. In the five, I guess we'll go with, let's go with Rizzo in the five. He has a 1,000 OPS this postseason. I'll go Rizzo there. Follow him up with Verdugo. Volpe in the seven. Then we'll go Jazz in the eight and Wells in the nine. That's what I think we should run. We got a pretty solid bench actually for this series. We got Birdie, Cabrera, Trevino, Dominguez is what we're looking like, I believe. So that's not a bad bench, but I think that there's so much potential. Also, I don't know if this is a positive or a negative. LeMahieu may return this series. He's been treading towards being healthy again. We'll see where it goes with him. Hasn't taken in that bat in a good long while. I can't tell if it's for the better or worse. Probably for the better, but that's what I think
For
it'd
me, it's for
be.
the worse. I hate to be that guy, but for me, it's for the worse.
I mean, he's been rough the last while. I mean, that's just how it is.
So I'm not gonna sit here and say that I'm a fan of Gleyber,
Oh, I
but
love Gleyber. I love
no.
Gleyber so much.
So the postseason leading off, I gotta give him a lot of credit.
Oh, incredibly. He's made a huge jump
Getting.
going from, a random spot to leadoff. He's taken the leadoff role really well.
He is in a big position, like being in the playoffs, ALDS, CS. Now let's see in the World Series.
Yeah.
Would you re-sign Gleyber? Or you would move on from him and.
My thing is, if we re-sign Gleyber, I think it lowers our chances to get Soto, just because there's so limited money we have with, Judge and Stanton and Cole still on the payroll. If we want to get Soto, it'll probably have to be him, and that's about it. I mean, I don't see a world where we can get, Gleyber back and Soto back, and, anyone else we may lose. I'm not too in connection with the free agency market as of now, hopefully soon enough. But I love Gleyber to death, but I really think Soto is the priority here.
I agree.
I mean, Soto, he's so uber talented. 200 homers before age 26, a career 285 hitter. I mean, he doesn't turn 26 until I think Friday. I think game one is his 26th birthday.
So speaking of Soto, how much will you give him?
Oof. 20, so he'll
Years.
be 26. So I let's think about this. So let's I think around 12 years is what we'd be looking for Soto.
12.
Yeah, I mean
What's the price?
I think 480 might be realistic. I mean
480?
that's 40 mil a year for 12 years.
480 out. I really think he's gonna go up to almost
You
like the
think he's gonna go
70.
higher? No, there's no way, because
Yes, I'm telling you,
there's no way he gets 60 mil. No,
I
no
think
shot.
it. No, I'm keeping it. I'm telling you, it's gonna be at least.
That would be brutal, man.
6'10",
Oof,
I
man.
think max 6'10".
Yeah, I mean, this kid, he's one of the most talented ball players we've seen since 2000. So just the fact that everyone's going to be going after him, even if you suck, like even if you're the A's or the Rockies, you got to at least keep your eye on him, because he's one of those ball players doesn't come around too often.
You know Scott Boras, he's gonna re keep replaying that that homer to clinch. He's gonna
Boris,
go to
man.
the table and just keep replaying that video over and over and over again.
Oh,
I know
100%.
Cashman and Hal doesn't have to see it, but you know Boris is gonna have that in his back pocket.
I have so much beef with Scott Boris. I cannot stand the dude.
Why is that?
He's just such an annoying guy. I mean, he kept us from getting Bellinger. He made Monty sign to the Diamondbacks and miss spring training and get obliterated. It's just like I just think he's awful. I
You
just
seen
don't
Blake
think he
Snell as
represents his
well.
guy well. Yeah, I mean Snell missed spring training, but he started off really cold, but then he eventually, got his
Yeah,
stuff back
yes.
together. but
Yeah.
he started off cold, and I just don't think that's what you should do. You need your guys to be, ready to play for the team as soon as the season begins. You don't want your guys joining in mid-April, early May, being like, "Hey, what's up, guys? I exist, by the way." I just think it's such a flawed system.
Who was the player that dropped
Drop Boris.
Boris?
I think
Who
it
was
was
it?
Monty.
I think it was like, I
I
think
think
as
it was
soon as they got their money like very late and
No,
signed with
I
the
think it
team,
was
they dropped him.
Montgomery.
Was it?
Jordan Montgomery dropped Boris.
It's like it's too late. Like you already missed
Yeah,
so much.
April 11th, 2024. Yeah, fired Scott Boris and signed with some other people. He was one of the Boris four, along with Chapman, Bellinger, and Snell, who waited late to sign. I mean, it's just so annoying. I mean, we could have had Bellinger too. And I love Bellinger. I love him so much. I think he'd be a great Yankee.
Man, I don't know. If we had Bellinger, I think we would have never gotten Juan Soto.
I'm not going to disagree with that. But MVP, Rookie of the Year, two-time All-Star, World Series champ, Gold Glove, Silver Slugger, NLCS MVP. I mean,
So,
like he's I just think he has that flair, but of course Soto is better. We're not going to lie to ourselves. Soto's better.
I know we're in the World Series, but this is like an interesting convo. I think the guy that I wanted so bad on the Yankees that we missed, for me, I'll probably be pissed off, probably get mad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You good? You good?
for a very long time, and that's Bryce Harper.
I mean,
Like,
that was such a bad situation. I mean, Harper, everyone thought he was coming to the Yankees.
I know it sucks because it's like this guy is so good. He's so great, right? Can
I
you
mean,
imagine him at Yankee Stadium?
yeah, I
Like
mean, grew up a
short
Yankee fan.
porch.
I think the reason we didn't get him was because of the Stanton trade. I think the
No,
Stanton
it was
trade
because of
backed it
that.
up.
Yeah.
But Harper grew up a Yankee fan, and I mean he's such an incredible ball player. But it's just like him and Machado were both rumored to be going to the Yankees that same offseason, and we got neither of them. And that's what it was, It just sucks because we always get rumored to get these big guys, and we never get them unless we already have them. Like we re-signed Judge and we, got Cole and all that. But Harper didn't come to us. Machado didn't come to us. It's a consistent circle of guys who are rumored to, be joining the Yankees and just don't.
I'm not mad about the Machado one. I'm like I said, it's gonna be Bryce Harper for me. I think that one is gonna sting for a long time. Like, I'm not like a huge fan. Like, obviously, like if I have to choose non-Yankee, I'm picking Bryce Harper. But that's one person that I'm like, damn.
But I mean,
That
hey, I'm so happy we got Judge back. Because if we had Harper, who's to say we re-sign Judge? It's a
think
huge like paradox because the way our payroll's structured, we don't have much space to work with. So every signing, you have to look at it from a perspective of who else could we have gotten, and would they be better for this role than the guy we actually got? And that's where I think a lot of things go back to Judge because he's such a huge contract. But say we didn't get him back, then we probably could have went for Harper. If we knew in 2019 that we didn't want to pursue re-signing him in the future, that would have been that. But Rookie of the Year should have been MVP. You're going to want to keep that guy going, especially when he's on your team to begin with, so you have a better shot at getting him back.
Yeah, but I know we're in the World Series. We shouldn't think about the past, but we was
Oh, I
talking about
agree.
Scott Boris for a second. So, oh wait, so Harper, he's a Boris client? No, right? No, I don't.
I don't know. I will check. I yeah, he is. He is, yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Boris has so many incredible guys in his lineup. He has Alonso, Altuve, Bellinger, Bregman, Dylan Cease, Cole, Correa, Harper, Gunnar Henderson. It's like it keeps going and going and going and going and going and going. Soto, Snell, Scherzer, Seager, Simeon, Rodon, Robert, just all these guys, JD Martinez. It's like the list goes on and on and on. And he's
Yeah, I
just,
think sometimes he just thinks about himself.
oh, 100 million%. I mean, this is
Because
like a whole list of guys that are all very solid ball players.
all right, let's get back to the Yankees.
We gotta get back to the World Series.
I had to vent about
Oh,
Bryce.
I totally get you.
Like, short porch, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, no,
Like,
I
I'm
totally
still
get you.
thinking about it.
I totally get that.
So today, right, before winning the World Series, I mean, I wish we was before
We're starting it.
clinching to the World Series, I always thought that was like our weakness, like not getting Bryce Harper.
I think when it comes to, previous postseason rounds like the Division Series and Championship Series, I just thought it was the depth in the back of the lineup that really ended up, messing with us. Because looking at our, you got our guys at the top of the lineup. You got our Stantons, our Sotos. But with when Judge and Wells play bad, the back of the lineup really needs to step up. Verdugo didn't really do that. 544 OPS. Volpe played well, Rizzo played well, but like you gotta be able to get those guys off the bench confidently. You couldn't get Birdie off the bench, couldn't get Cabrera off the bench, definitely couldn't get Dominguez off the bench. He needs to fix something. I don't know what, but something.
Why I one thing I just don't get, why is Birdie still there?
I mean, Birdie's an interesting guy because he's a fast ball player. Like he's fast. Just the problem is he can't hit at a consistent enough level as to where we can start him. But he led the league in steals. He led the NL in steals in 2022. Just this year, he had five steals. It was just like he only got 18 hits. There's only so much you can do on the base paths when you get 18 hits. But Birdie's a guy who has, the tools to make stuff work, just actually doesn't make it work. I think he's more a potential bat.
I don't know how I'm gonna say this. He's probably like the only one that I kind of dislike when it comes to being on the team.
Oh yeah, and that's respectable, it's everything's possible. But
It was game three, and they had him in Cleveland starting over Rizzo.
oh,
I
right. I
think it
forgot
was
about
game
that.
three, and he pretty much looked bad at first. And I'm like, why is he still in the game?
Yeah,
Like,
he was 0 for 4 that game.
but just at first base, just not,
Oh, yeah.
it's like, feels like he forgets that he's out there.
I mean, we got him not expecting too much. I mean, I'll check his deal, but I don't really think it's anything notable. Yeah, it's a 1 year, $3.5 million. Who cares? But he was just a low risk mid reward signing. He wasn't really gonna do much. We knew that coming in, but he's just there to be a back of the end bench bat. But especially with concern about Rizzo's health, with his I actually like 8-finger Rizzo more than I like 10-finger Rizzo. But with the concern about his I believe fractured, I think it was his thumb. I don't know though if I'm being real with you, but.
Doesn't look like he's in pain.
No, I mean he's playing
He's
solid
still
ball.
producing. That's the crazy part.
No, he's playing solid ball. I like 8-finger Rizzo more than 10-finger Rizzo. But we went 7-2 in the first two rounds of the postseason. The Dodgers postseason, when you look at it, was very interesting. They squeaked out the Padres in a 3-2 set, but the Mets series was weird. They won the series 4-2, but every single game had a 4+ run differential for either side. With respects of 9, 4, 8, 8, 6, and 5. So it was basically a blowout on either side every single game.
So I think the last, what was it, two, three games? I think it was like two games. Have you seen the score?
Of the
Dodgers
Dodgers
Mets.
Mets. Yeah, I mean, it was, as I said, 6 and 5 run differentials in the final two games. It was a really, really weird set. The final
That's the
game
thing that
was on
scares me.
Sunday. It was a 10-5 final. They nuked Sean Manaea. Holy
Yeah,
cow.
but that's the thing that scares me because, like I said, sometimes it takes us a very long time to produce like some hits and some runs.
No, and
So
I totally agree. It's just the Yankees. We have all the potential in the world. Just can we stay consistent with it?
Stanton is another guy that I have to like apologize to him. Like,
Oh, everyone does. Absolutely everyone does.
I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh, I'm like a huge Stanton fan. Like, I like him, but I was like bashing him and not in a like in a bad way of, you know, like booing him, but I said like a couple of things like, yeah, why is he
Oh,
here?
I mean, to be
Get
real, who didn't? I mean, he
traded.
his
And
OBP was his OBP was below
now
300.
I'm like, oh.
He's stepped up to the occasion in the postseason so well. He's such a legendary hitter in the postseason. When you look at his career stats, every single one of his postseason at bats has been with the Yankees. But when you look at
You have to
his,
thank Cashman for it.
oh,
Cashman
totally.
really lit a fire into him.
Yeah, but in Stanton's career, he's hitting 269 in the postseason with 16 homers and 35 RBI. I mean, when you look at his, individual, he hit 308 in 2020, and he's hitting 294 this postseason with an OPS of 1.179. So he's getting the bat to ball. And that's huge for a DH. A DH has been our spot. It's been kind of rough, because Giancarlo hasn't really been doing too much the last few years. But, this postseason where it matters most, he's been making the most of it.
He is. He's proving pretty much everyone wrong.
I mean, people were doubting Giancarlo a lot coming into this postseason, just with his ability to, consistently get on base. Everyone knew he had the power. He's always had the power. The problem is, can he get the bat to ball in more of a line drive fashion than a pop fly fashion? That's what costed him a lot during the regular season. But he's found a way to really just get his hips more into the swing and be able to drive through the ball. And that's what we're seeing more with these line drive homers instead of these crazy high pop fly moonshots that we've been seeing in the regular season and even the last couple of years.
What is the name, the closer from Cleveland? I forgot. I think it's over
Class
C.
A. Class A,
Yeah,
we crushed them.
like
Like,
I know. So why aren't we like doing that a lot more to other pitchers? Like sometimes I really don't get it. Like, love my team, but it frustrates me a lot. Like when we're going against pitchers that we should beat, and they look like they're aces against us.
I think this was really like a paradox in itself. Because Class A, he's such a legendary pitcher when it comes to 21st century ball. But in the
He's no
we
Mariano, though.
yeah we,
Let's
oh yeah
yeah,
no I saw
let's
people
start with that one.
I saw people making the comparison entering the postseason. I'm like, are you insane? Like, nobody's touching Mariano. Like, I'm sorry, man, nobody's doing it. But I think when it comes down to it, the X factor of this series is going to be the Dodgers' injuries and just their incapability when it comes to consistency. Glasnow's out, Kershaw's out, Stone's out, Freeman's probably going to be out. Gratterall and Miguel Rojas are trending up, but still nothing set in stone. And the Yankees are looking pretty healthy. Cortez, Hamilton, and LeMahieu all have potential to return. So I think if
Yeah,
we win
everyone
this
is healthy.
series, I think if we
Everyone.
win this series, it comes down to the Dodgers just having guys hurt and we just overpower them. That's what I think it comes down to.
Game one for me, I don't know if you will agree to it. Game one for me is a game seven.
Ooh. I mean,
If you
just
think if you think about it, game one is a game seven because
You got to get the jump.
you have to like. And not only that, you have to take the crowd out from the beginning,
Yeah,
right?
because we know the matchup on the mound. It's going to be Cole versus Flaherty at 8:08 Eastern
Yeah.
on Friday.
By the
But
second inning, we should be up three zip.
I would hope so. The problem there is Flaherty. While he might not be doing great this postseason, I believe his numbers this postseason are 15 innings and 12 earned runs for an ERA of 7.04. But he's a good pitcher against the Yankees in his career, despite only having a couple starts. So we'll see what he can do. But I would sure hope we can, jump out early.
So the other reason why is because like you said, Yamamoto's gonna pitch, I believe, the second game.
He will. He will. It will be
So
Yamamoto. And I don't know if the Yankees have locked in a pitcher yet. I believe it will be
it's a bit rumored.
Rodon.
So if you think about it, he might be nervous going game two against the Yankees. We went game one, now we're up one, nothing like in the series. Go against him, you never know. 2-0 coming back to the Bronx for game three. So,
I think if the Yankees even split the games at Dodger Stadium, that would be huge. That would be so massive. Just
judge
even
numbers,
splitting.
I can't say exact, like numbers, but judge in LA and Dodger Stadium, different player.
Yeah. But the
Like,
weird thing about
he's always
Yamamoto,
great, but.
weird thing about Yamamoto, he had a 3 ERA this year, but his worst starts were against the bad teams. He allowed 4 earned runs to Colorado, 4 to Cincinnati, 4 to San Fran. And his only other bad games were 2 games where he allowed 5 versus the Padres, one in his first start, one in the first start of the postseason. So he's been pretty good against the good teams. 4 innings of shutout ball against the Braves, 7 innings of shutout ball against us on June 7th. And 6 innings of shutout ball against the D-backs. I mean, he's been pitching pretty well overall. He threw 5 innings of 3-run ball against San Diego in April in another game. 5 innings of shutout ball against the Cubs. So Yamamoto, he's been dominating the good teams, but just not doing too great against the bad teams. The question is, can we flip that script?
I think we could. I think we can.
I sure hope so.
I think so. Like, you seen Soto's at bat.
Yeah.
Like, once he starts with the Soto shuffle, the nodding his head, like, okay, you threw that? All right.
I agree. Only got about a minute left, but
Stanton feeling,
yeah.
I guess you could say pissed off. Judge hasn't been judged. So he's gonna bounce back. Glaber, I think he's gonna still keep
I
he's
think
gonna
so. He
keep
has to.
producing. Jazz hasn't he's been quiet. I think he's gonna produce. Yeah. I'm just excited. I really think we're gonna pull this off.
Love it. Got a few seconds left. What's your final series prediction? What we feeling?
Yankees in six.
Yankees in 6. I will be taking the Yankees in 7. I believe they can outlast the Dodgers injury perspective and ball player perspective. I would love to thank you guys for watching the World Series preview episode of the Playoff Push Podcast, episode 18. Let's go, Yankees, and have a
Let's
great rest of
go.
your night.
Yankees 8-4.